Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Mission Accepted Podcast. I know why you're here. You're here because there's something inside you that's like, what are all these crazy people doing that I want to be doing? You're like, they're taking the mission. And honestly, it's a big deal when you take the mission, when you decide to step into something that's passionate. So you're hearing from people that do that every day. But what I love about this show is that you get to hear from people that stayed, that said, oh, this, you know, I thought deciding to become entrepreneurial or self-funded or however you want to call it was the big thing. And it is, but really the staying power. I'm super excited. You have been so incredible as an audience. You know, I love and adore you because you do what I ask and I do what you ask. You send me who you want to hear from and I get them on the stage. And you share and our numbers are incredible. And thank you, International World. You've been wonderful to us. And you've been on this incredible tour with us on this whole 262 world tour. So, and that is going to continue for years and years and years to come. So I hope to meet more of you in person. I'm excited today. Why? Because you know that I love media. And you know why I love media. I love media because it makes people sustainable. Because there's all these incredible people doing incredible things in the world. And some of them are the best kept secrets. Some of them are local secrets. Some of them don't have the, what can we say? We're not going to say gumption, but maybe some bravery and courage to get themselves out on a stage so people can hear what they do. And the people that are in the room with us today, we have viewers and we have listeners. And so we're super excited to have Jill Lupin, who's Love and Publicity, and we have How to Get on the News with Jeff Kreiley, and they're going to talk to you a little bit about how they play in the world of exposure, because I believe that they have a big heart too, and they truly know that when you get someone on stage, when you get someone on the screen, when you help someone to get noticed, then they get to do what they get to do, and that helps them be sustainable. And when you have sustainable people out there in the world that are abundant within themselves, then they can reach out and help other people be abundant. And wouldn't it be a beautiful world, I always say, if we never had to say the word free again, as much as it's a very well-marketed word and it does the job. So that's why we're all here, is to help people do what they need to do for themselves. And we have different aspects of how that happens. Publication, radio, TV, news, what have you. Jeff, let's have a conversation with you a little bit because you have this vast career in all things media. And maybe take us to where that got you to today, what brought you here to today, and anything that I've just shared that you can expand upon. Even that person that wants to be on TV, that comes from an era that can't even imagine that's accessible today.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. Deb, you're an amazing interviewer, and I did it professionally for 25 years, Lansing, Omaha, Minneapolis, Dallas. I wrote a book when I was in TV news. The book was called Free Publicity, A TV Reporter Shares the Secrets for Getting Covered on the News. My TV station at the time, the Fox station in Dallas, would not allow me to accept a speaker's fee, so I had to make it up in volume. So you're looking at a crazy man who gave 300 speeches a year for 6 straight years, in addition to his TV job. Breakfast speech, lunch speech, go to work at Channel 4. Breakfast speech, lunch speech, go to work at Channel 4. I sell 70,000 copies of this book from the back of the room. I did it the hard way, out of the trunk of my car. And finally, it got to the point where people kept trying to hire me. I'm signing their, you know, little do-it-yourself book, and they're trying to hire me. So in 2008, at the ripe old age of 45, I said, you know, I think I've got a second act. I think I could be really good at this PR stuff. And so I quit. Toughest decision I ever made, because I was a TV reporter when I was 19 years old. So this was almost an identity crisis. Started this company in my home in 2008, laptop, cell phone, calling myself a PR firm. Now I wake up with 20 full-time employees. Most of the employees came from TV news. we like to hire from the news business. Who better to get people on the news than the news? And then I'll wind it down with this. We started a television network because we feel like the it's valuable as it is getting people on Fox and Good Morning America, we see declining audiences. Jill is seeing this too. The Dallas Morning News used to be a very thick paper. Now it's paper thin. And so we feel like the news is slowly dying. And then you have the rise of social media. So we created a television network where people fly in from New York and LA, knock out a bunch of TV shows from our studios. The reason I have perfect lighting, if I can do this for a second, the reason I have perfect lighting is I'm sitting on a $10,000 anchor desk. This is a big, we had this produced for us. So we're making podcasting look like ABC News. And so I have 6 studios in Dallas, 1 in Fort Worth, 1 in Southlake, and 1 2 blocks away from the Capitol in Austin. And hopefully one day we'll be in every major city. And that's, I'm sorry to go on this soliloquy, but you can tell I'm excited about my company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's talk about some, let's dive deep a little bit in. And then Jill, I think you'll be able to come right in on the back of this is let's take it to what I was sharing about how some people TV is, I mean, you've done a great explanation of how you got yourself to there. And so what is the process that someone goes through? Like for someone who's never been on TV, who might be in that new, I've got something to share with the world, whether it's entrepreneurial, whether it's a nonprofit or a profit. What are some of the things that people can do maybe to prepare themselves to come on? A lot of people hold them back from saying, I'm not filling the dot enough. Not enough people know me. Can you talk to the newer entrepreneur who this concept of TV would be just mind blowing and seem unattainable?
Let's let Jill speak on this. I mean, she's
okay,
written
sure.
Something like six books. Am I wrong, Jill? Is it more than that? How many books? Okay, but she's amazing, and I respect her so much. Jill, let me let you have that question.
So what I would say, thank you, and glad to be here. And Jeff and I work, in conjunction, like great 1-2 fabulous punches, the good kind only. And let me just say, every entrepreneur needs publicity. The point is, no matter where you are in your entrepreneurial journey, if nobody knows about you, how can you have impact, right? And so you would use the word secret, Deb, right at the beginning. And I'm going to say, don't go bragging about the fact that you're a secret, any of you, because it is time to come out to shine. The power of what publicity does, it enables you to reach people quickly, effectively, and simply, and it's like a one-to-many opportunity. So that you're not doing sales calls and, constantly having to be in front of people, although that's important. It's not a one-hit wonder like social media is, but it keeps delivering results. That's the power of publicity. And I love particularly the what I call the magnetization factor, that it really draws people to you and elevates your status as an expert. And most importantly, in today's world, creates trust in the marketplace.
We talk a lot about, obviously, we are stages and one particular publication. And we always say that media is the, it's the instant long game, right? It's the instant long game. And it's how many times those media impressions happen. Well, let's sticking with publicity a little bit. Can you define that for people? Is publicity just print? Is like, you have some books, so I'm not going to give some ideas here. I'm just going to ask you that question. So can you define publicity a little bit clearer for people?
So I've got a big definition of it for, it. First of all, it is print, radio, TV, blogs, podcasts. It's magazines, newspapers, radio. It's all of the traditional media plus, the what I'd call the newer media or 2.0, 3.0, whatever you want to call it. It's all incorporated. I know in guerrilla publicity, we have incorporated every form of media. But here's what I want to say about publicity and my definition of it is that it happens from the minute you walk out your door. You are your brand, your service, your product. I think it needs to be integral and congruent with who you are, your personality, what you're offering. It's all publicity. It's all publicity. And then, yes, you get interviewed, you show up and you sparkle and you give your sound bites and you give the appropriate messages. But the truth is, it's all publicity, my friend. So just know you're doing it whether you like it or not. So let's step into it well and be prepared with a great message that is resonant and truly who you are with what you want to say and communicate it well.
So either Jeff or Jill, whomever, we're going to do dual interview here. When someone's looking at their business, whether they're new in their business, whether they're moving forward, whether they've got something new to share, when should someone start to take publicity serious? I mean, it's one thing when we're out the door, but it doesn't tend to be on that CFO financial line. It comes under the guide of marketing. How much do you think that people should be putting towards in relationship to their business in publicity? And if you're looking at a business plan, if you're going into business, how much should they account for having the kind of exposure that you offer?
I'll start and then I'd let Jill finish. I think every entrepreneur has to be thinking about PR because what makes the difference between Starbucks and an ordinary cup of coffee? Starbucks had marketing. I mean, if we went back in the Wayback Machine to 1970 and I said to people, "Hey, you're going to be standing in line for 30 minutes waiting for a $5 cup of coffee," they would have laughed at me in 1970. They're like, "No, you can get that for a dime at 7-Eleven." It was all marketing. And so if two people show up at the same meeting, one has a Starbucks cup and one has a 7-Eleven cup, who's cooler? The Starbucks person. It may not even be a better cup of coffee, but marketing is what makes Starbucks good. And so I think we all should take a page from, the notebooks of the iconic brands that you've seen over the years. All of them are marketing minded. And Jill, I'll let you riff on that.
Well, let me just say, I heard Jack Canfield speak, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And here's what was interesting. He could have been our publicity agents. I mean, he said that the thing that made Chicken Soup for the Soul famous, that sold 500 million plus copies of all of their books and, left him a very wealthy man from the sale of all of it. Let me just say, it was publicity. And he said they did every single thing they could to create visibility for a little known brand at that time called Chicken Soup for the Soul. He said, "We used to say yes to places I never even knew existed. We would do every interview we could and say yes to everything." And publicity, he underlined, was the very thing that elevated where they ended up. And that was what drove their success. And I'm with Jeff. I mean, no matter where you are in your entrepreneurial journey, and in fact, at the beginning is a great place, in the middle, at the end, it doesn't matter, in a transition perhaps, because the reality is that publicity is what's going to get you seen, known, heard, and paid. That's what drives it, you and your business.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Jill. It's interesting because as we talk to people and we say what to share about and how to share about, and we all seem to do the same but different. Many people forget about the things of interest. The things that really, I mean, it doesn't have to be an award that you won that drives you to publicity. It doesn't have to be that you're launching the book next week. They should have done it a long time ago. It's not necessarily the big stuff. Can you share with us, Jeff, give us some ideas. Prompt the audience's mind, please,
Sure.
on things that happen in your business or in your life that requires or would be inspirational for other people to hear about.
So,
Newsworthy.
yeah, in my book, I wrote a chapter called Becoming the Expert, and it's the chapter that I use most often. So, everybody who's watching this broadcast right now is an expert in their field. If they're a realtor, they're a real estate expert. If they are a doctor, they're a medical expert. If they're a lawyer, they're a legal expert. Rule number one, you got to pay attention to the news. So anybody who wants to be on the news, I challenge you in your car, listen to AM news talk radio. In most markets, there's a dominant number one radio station that does all news all the time, and you just have to listen to it to see when your feeding frenzy is coming along. So if you're a lawyer and they're talking about a big case that you could weigh in on, you have to know that the case is in play right now. I can't tell you how many times when I was a TV news reporter, I'd get a call from a PR person who should have called me the day before because I was looking for their client the day before. And I would just say, where were you yesterday? Because I needed you yesterday. I'm on to the next story. So feeding frenzies build and they dissipate, they build and they dissipate. And if you can catch the beginning of a wave when they're really talking about your story, you can ride that wave for a long time.
Honestly, that's really great advice. Of course, we know there's trends and there's certain platforms out there that trends can last hours only on certain social channels. Some of them are 24, 48 hours. So Jill, do you have anything to share on that?
Well, you know, see this lovely piece of equipment, you know, like Jeff, I say, look at the headlines, you know, just check your phone, like what's going on. For instance, Johnny Depp, when he was getting a divorce and it was nasty, I have a divorce coach I'm working with. And then I also have a love coach I'm working with. And I had both of them talk about Johnny Depp's divorce, right? And so it fed into something that was happening. And definitely pay attention to what you can contribute. And it is a contribution to whatever's happening now. And then I want you to think about your publicity like an evolutionary garden. So you keep planting seeds and you look ahead and plan, I think, 3, 6, and 9 months ahead, because, you know, Entrepreneur Magazine is booking 9 months ahead, typically to 12 months. TV and radio work a lot faster, so you can come into a hot topic quicker. But even so, you know, people are planning ahead. I will tell you, with the Prophet of Kindness, when that came out, we planned publicity 1 year ahead and also oriented toward World Kindness Day, for example, which is November 13th. So one of the things you want to do is look ahead. What holidays might you fit into with whatever your topic is? And let's have fun with that and orient your story toward that. That really works.
I think that's very important for people to note what's happening, because hasn't there been an event and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes you can't help it. We did a 2-year prep to an event once, and then the Iraqi war went on the same day. And we had like 25 news stations at this event. And, you know, sometimes it'll be that, but if you can bank the odds in your favor, more than likely that's a once in a lifetime experience to have. And so I had it for us all. Talking about publicity and then things that you can do, like the news is part of your publicity, correct? Being on on TV is part of your publicity. And you were saying, you know, certain publicity has certain timelines. Is it better for someone to go hire an agent, try to do it themselves? Like, those are the questions that I'm sure that you must answer all the time. Like, do I hire someone to handle this for me? Is it worth it doing myself? Well, how much time is it going to take for me to be able to represent myself? Can you? That is a daunting question when it comes to media.
Okay. I'll jump in on that. So yeah. When I was a young reporter, I would buy a can of spray starch. And during the football games, I would iron 4 or 5 shirts for the week. And then I saw a sign one time in a window. It said, starched shirts, 99 cents. And I was like, you know what? I would rather pay that guy $5 than standing there with spray starch ironing my shirts during the games. So I would say to your audience, if they like the idea of calling the media and following up, then do it yourself. But if you're honest with yourself and you're saying to yourself, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to get on the phone with these reporters. I'm never going to do the follow-up needed. That's when you outsource your PR and you hire somebody like Jill or myself.
Right. Okay. Anything else to add to that, Joe?
Well, I think it's an important piece to mix it up a bit. And yes, we are experts. We know what the heck to do to shortcut your process, to save you time and money, and to stop you spinning around and chasing your tail, which is what I notice a lot of people do. And they don't know the right ways and to get things done. So we're your shortcut. And I think that that's important for people to evaluate based on, you know, obviously budget and time. And I like, what I might call a mixed bag of PR. You know, there are things you can do it yourself, and you know, I'm an expert in some of that. Jeff's got an amazing service where he gets it done for you. Great. I think mixed bag, meaning put things together in a way that makes sense. And most importantly, I don't think this is something that one tends to want to do themselves, you know, unless you're a bit more experienced, but certainly have experts on your side who know how to do this and get it done fast to save you lots of money in the end, really.
Yeah, and I would think that the long-term relationship, we talk about that. I was talking to someone yesterday about a position in our company, and they're like, "So how long are you looking for?" I'm like, "I've been in 33 years and I plan on staying that way. I hire long-term." And I think when you're hiring people to support you in something that is evolutionary, right? Your CFO is an evolutionary. You know, hopefully things are changing in the right direction when it comes to that. And I think so does your media, because media plays off media. Am I correct in that? People see you here, they see you there, and it's that mixed bag that you're talking about. Jeff, you've got the sexy word TV, right? And I'd love to talk about TV. And for people that don't think it's possible, or they're like, it's possible, what does it take from me? You know, I mean, every TV station I'm sure has their own criteria, but if someone's out there thinking, I'd like to kind of go and see about that, can you give people some actuals, some what does that
Sure.
look like? True, true.
Yeah. So the first thing you do if you want to be on TV, I would start local, start in your local market, wherever you are. Start watching those morning shows. I love the morning shows because their inventory is so large. So my old TV station, Channel 4 here in Dallas, broadcasts from 4 a.m. all the way up till I believe 9 a.m. before they turn it over to programming. Well, that's 5 hours of content. So if you watch your local morning show, you see that they have a doggy yoga segment. They have a cooking segment. You start to get the flow of the show, and you say to yourself, "Is what I'm trying to pitch in keeping with their show?" But I remember in TV news, I would get calls from PR people getting paid a lot of money to pitch me, and they would begin their pitch by saying, "Now, Jeff, are you the on-camera guy or are you behind the scenes?" And I'm like, "Are you in front of the computer right now? Just Google me." It's been like, honestly, like 3 seconds just doing a little bit of homework. And then I would hear them type and they'd say, "Oh, yeah, you're the on-camera guy." It's like, yeah, before you pitch the media, you should probably at least know what they do. And Jill, you can probably piggyback on that.
So I think the big issue, I love your advice about start local. I agree 1,000%. And the good news is they want you as experts in your local community. So that means also your daily paper. And I love the business journal too. Most, I think there are more than 85 business journals across the US and then across the world. There's even more. So definitely check your local business journal. And like Jeff mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, if you're in real estate, there's a real estate editor, right? There are people who really seek what it is you do. If you're in health, there's usually a health editor, there's slash medical editor. You know, so I think it's really good to do that. And if you don't want to start with TV, start with something like in print, because it often can be easier for some people to go in print where you're not being seen first. Get interviewed, get your chops down, go on some podcasts that also you can find usually fairly quickly, and start getting your sound bites down. I think that's important that you have some things that people can remember you by, because they will come up to you later and go, "Oh, I loved, you know, a certain piece you said." So I think that's really important. And then once you get on, go back. So for instance, this year, World Kindness Day, I mentioned, because of the Prophet of Kindness, November 13th. Every year we know this is coming and we're pitching ahead. And I called up my morning local show, like just like Jeff says, mornings on two in Oakland. They had me on. And I said, "Listen, how about again? You know, it's time to talk about kindness again, even more important in these times, in this moment, right?" And I give the reason why. So it's not about the book, The Prophet of Kindness. It's about why kindness is important in this moment and what it has to do with this moment. So I think that's something that people ought to know too. It's not about just pitching your services, your books, your products, who you are. It's about why is it good for the others and what problem does it solve in the marketplace? And then you're the expert to provide that solution. That's a key.
That is the key. Do you want to explain soundbite a little bit for people?
Soundbite, I like to go like this because when you're thinking about, when you're thinking about what's something that's simple and easy to remember, right? Like I use something about your ooh, ah factor, or using everything you've got. And people remember that. It's a phrase, it's a quick way to state something that gets people going, okay. It maybe even stops them, like, ooh, what you mean by that? Because it's something that's simple and 5-year-old language. I think many times people are talking too high above others. So I want you to, in my world, keep it really simple and quick and easy to say. I don't know, Jeff, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter in my book called The Soundbite Machine, and it's all about why is it that you could watch a news conference and the newsmaker speaks for 45 minutes, but then everybody uses the same soundbite. It's not because ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox conspired and said, "Did you, which one are you going to use?" We all heard the same thing at the same time. And so I came up with this formula. A soundbite is not the steak. The steak is the who, what, where, when, why. Journalists are very good at telling the who, what, where, when, why. What they can't do is they can't do the seasoning. So the seasoning on the steak is the flavor. So if you're going to do an interview, you say to yourself, okay, what are they probably going to ask me? And then what's a more clever way to say what I want to say? So if you wanted to say, I used to be broke, you could say that, or you could say, I used to be so broke, I went to weddings just for the rice. So that's a soundbite. So anyway.
No, that's perfect. That's a way to explain it because some people, there's people know what it is. Sorry, Jill, you were going to say
Yes, and
something.
you notice what happened is you laughed, right? And that's a good thing that you laugh, that you'll now remember that. So it's a way to get people to remember you. That's really what we're after. You want to be memorable.
We want to be memorable. Well, look, we're going to be wrapping up soon. Do you have a story? I love, and so do people love to hear themselves through other people's stories where someone came on the show and could be a funny story. It could be a, oh my gosh, this is what happened to them after. And Jill, I'll ask you the same thing. But Jeff, can you share with us a story about how someone braved out, got on the show and what happened after that?
All right, one of my favorite stories, I got hired by a guy 2 years ago, and he does rent-a-Santas in the malls, right? And this is the height of COVID. This is the height of the labor shortage. And so he calls me up out of the blue and he says, Jeff, I might need to hire you. I have a rent-a-Santa company. It's called hiresanta.com, and we've got a Santa shortage. I said, you've got a Santa shortage. Oh my goodness. Do you know what you're sitting on right now? He says, I have no idea. I said, you've got two feeding frenzies coming together. This is November. The feeding frenzy on the labor shortage meets the feeding frenzy on Christmas. And so it's my record to date. We got him 100 media placements in 30 days. And that was every major morning show, every media outlet in the country ended up doing this story because we were tying into things that the media cared about.
Wow, that's incredible. He had a Santa shortage. He didn't have enough Santas to go. Well, there you go. Okay, so thank you for that. That's jogged many things in people's minds. And Jill, how about you? Do you have a story?
By the way, I bet you he got a lot more Santas and a lot more gigs. Right?
He sure did.
Save the economy.
Yeah.
It's raining Santa. Okay, so my story is a gentleman named Ryan came up to me and we started working together and I said, tell me your story because he had been an instructional designer. He got downsized from his job. He got fired. He had a pregnant wife. He's got a big house now and mortgage payments. And did I mention fired from his job, right? I go, he says, I need to build my business again and I want to do publicity to do it. I said, well, to be honest, instructional design is boring, but your story is interesting. So I made him into what I call a virtual office warrior. And Ryan took a vow, virtual office warrior, never to work in an office again. That story got him into the front page of the San Francisco Business Times, where he's located. And that got picked up by Associated Press. He also got in Entrepreneur Magazine. He got into Home Office Computing, another national magazine. He got into Mac Home Journal, and we had a big laugh because he goes, Jill, I don't even have a Mac. But he Right? He had a great story for Mac Home Journal. Let me tell you, he rode this media wave for 9 months, increased his business literally by 65%, and frankly, now is a profitable business with all kinds of great things going on. That happened because he invested in publicity in a time when honestly, he was a little scared, just starting, and frankly, put it on his credit card, but knew and had faith that this would work.
Wow, those are great stories. As we wrap up, I have a final question for you that's not in this scope. So, is there anything, Jeff and/or Jill, that you would like to share with our audience before we change the energy of the show a little?
No, this has been a great show. You're a consummate host. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And of course, your information will be in the show notes, the fantastic show notes that have been created for this show. And our audience knows to share because that's what we do here. So look, you can't pass this over to Jill. This is all you. You are going on this trip by yourself, and you are going to the de to a desert island, and it's you and you for a while. And you got one suitcase, and we are back in the world of vinyl. And goodness knows, I believe that music is one of the most powerful vibrations in the world. And so you're allowed to squeeze one album into that suitcase. What are you taking?
It would have to be the Beatles, and I'm going to say Sgt. Pepper's.
Nice one. Nice one. We're doing a compilation one day of all our guests. And Jill, who are you taking?
I think it's David Bowie because I love, I mean, call me, PR crazy, but I love Fame. What's your name? What's your name? And I could go on, but with many of his songs, I think he was a great artist.
Absolutely. That's a great song. That is definitely a great song for your business. Look, we are so pleased that you were able to come and share and open the doors and kind of give people a bit more of a comfortable view, right? Some people are afraid to ask the questions because they don't think that they're where they're needing to be to ask those questions. But I think you both sharing a story of people that were at the very beginning or were coming up against something. And many times in our businesses, we come up against that ceiling and we don't know what else to do. And sometimes it's not about us, it's about the best people that we hire. It's the best people that we hire that's going to know what to do. So I appreciate you both coming on to the show today. I know there's going to be many more conversations. You're always welcome back at Mission Accepted. And to my incredible audience, thank you so much. If you want to be sitting where these lovely people are, you know what to do. This is not difficult. It's devdrummond.com, same as my name. And you're going to go to the contact page. You're not only going to watch incredible shows like we had here today, but if you want to be sitting where they're sitting, talking where they're talking, you want to be on our stage, you want to be in our publications, you're welcome to a conversation, and we welcome you to the Mission Accepted family. With that being said, I'm going to say the same thing I always say, and hopefully it's true for you today. I want you to be well, and I want you to stay groovy. Thanks for joining us.